Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Enjoy Bud Light and Michelob Ultra Specials all football season at Klondike Kate's. So Cole Hamels is now eligible to go to the Hall of Fame. One of my favorite Phillies writers is John Foley. He's got his own Substack. 2008 Phils with a Z is the Substack. You got to get a better website address, John, by the way. It's a little easier to find, a little easier to explain. But John was the one who convinced me with stats that Jimmy Rollins should be in the Hall of Fame. And when I saw his post about Cole Hamels, my first instinct was Cole Hamels is a good pitcher, but he's not a Hall of Famer. And after reading it, I have a different perspective. So we have John on to talk about it. Thank you, John. Appreciate you coming on.
Hey, what's going on? First time, long time, man.
Yeah, there you go. That's the way to start it. So why don't you give just some context about what are the requirements once you're eligible to get into the Hall for everyone who doesn't know?
Yeah, sure. So the voters are all members of the BBWAA, the Baseball Writers Union. And a player needs to hit votes on 75% of their ballots to be inducted. They get 10 years to reach that mark. If you're Ichiro or whoever, you hit that on your first try, no problem. But for most guys, the goal is to get to 5% in your first year or two, in your first year, stay on the ballot, and then gradually make your way to 75. Now, if you fall below 5% in any year, you're off the ballot, and then you have to wait on the veterans committees down the line, sort of like the way Dick Allen got in last year.
So for context, where are Utley and Rollins at this point, like just for context when we start talking about Hamels?
Yeah. For context, Utley is in good shape. Utley's in pretty good shape. He reached about 40% last year in his second year on the ballot, and that's probably the right trajectory to eventually hit 75 in the next 8 years. He's in good shape.
Yeah, baseball heads know. Yeah.
And what about Rollins?
And Rollins, sadly, is not on that same trajectory. He's at around 18% after 4 years, and he's probably not going to get there just because, you know, that surprises a lot of people because Rollins tops Utley in most of the traditional categories, counting stats and whatnot.
Yeah, the boring stats.
Yeah, exactly. But Utley has the edge when it comes to the advanced stats like WAR, and that's what's more trendy nowadays, right? So when you look at a path forward, Utley, he's at 40%. He's strong in the areas where voters are starting to look more. Rollins, I think years ago, he would have been almost automatic with scouting stats, but it's not the case nowadays, sadly.
So for Hamels, what I looked at initially, Hamels has 160 wins, 162. So my first blush was, well, that's not nearly enough, but I'm old. So given like where the baseball is now, can you give some context on the 162 wins and who will be going in maybe around the same time and what their win level is at?
Yeah, so admittedly, 162 really does not seem like enough, and it's the biggest flaw in Hamels' case. You look at any other metric, he fits right in with guys who are already in the Hall of Fame. Strikeouts, ERA, whip, all of that. As far as wins go, there's only two or three starters in the Hall with fewer wins. But the thing is, wins aren't what they used to be, right? Rotations used to be four guys, not five. They would all throw eight or nine innings and get a decision every time out. Cy Young had 511 wins. Walter Johnson had 417. It's crazy. Nowadays, five innings and you get pulled for your relief specialists. So voters are going to have to adjust. You're never going to see a 300-game winner again. So it's tough for Hamels to be sort of one of the earliest guys, you know, from an era where those win totals are not as impressive. To start making his way in.
I guess the big thing for me, John, would be if a pitcher or a player from the naked eye didn't dominate a certain era or his field, it would be hard for me to view them as a Hall of Famer. But also look at it this way. You know, baseball has made it too hard to get in the Hall of Fame. Basketball has made it too easy to get in the Hall of Fame. How do we get to a middle ground where we appreciate these guys and put them in the Hall without disrespecting the guys that have come before, but still making the Hall of Fame the ultimate goal to achieve. Like, I don't want it to be easy to get in the Baseball Hall of Fame, but I mean, there are guys I watched growing up playing that I'm like, he was one of the better players of his era, but he didn't have 500 home runs or 3,000 hits, so he's probably not getting in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, like that's exactly right. I mean, it's, you don't want to water it down, but I do think there's a trend, especially among starting pitchers for the Baseball Hall of Fame, where, you know, you think Hall of Famer, you think the top guys in the Hall of Fame, right? The no doubters. Mm-hmm. You're thinking about Walter Johnson, and then you look at Cole Hamels and you say, he's no Walter Johnson. And well, no, he's not. But not everybody in the Hall of Fame is one of those top guys. And really, you know, I think, you know, there's, if you look at players in the Hall of Fame with over 200 games started, there's only 69 of them in the Hall of Fame in the history of the game, which I would argue is that we're setting too high of a bar. Mm. You know, that's you know, a minuscule percentage of the guys that play baseball, where if you set the mark more around the top 3-4% of guys to play the game, then you do have the guys like Hamels. And, you know, it's reasonable people can disagree as to whether that's watering down what the Hall of Fame means. But, you know, at a certain point, if we don't adjust the standards here, you're not going to be putting in many pitchers at all.
Right.
Yeah. Well, so if I were to say, give me a couple of numbers that would surprise people that would make the case for Hamels,
Okay, so the best number I got is if you take all the pitchers, all the starting pitchers in the Hall of Fame already, all 69 of them, Hamels would be top five in strikeouts per nine, top five strikeout artists. And the only guys ahead of him, Randy Johnson, Pedro Martinez, Nolan Ryan, and Sandy Koufax. I mean, come on, look at those names.
That's a pretty crazy stat, you know, for a guy that started as many games as he did.
That's pretty good, right? And it's not like he's doing this in a small sample size. He had a 15-year career. And then the rest of the stats fit right in, usually among the top half of Hall of Famers, above the median Hall of Famer. Again, we think of these top guys, but if you look at the entire collection of starting pitchers in the Hall of Fame, and you take Hamels' ERA plus, his strikeouts, he's in the top half of them. He fits right in.
I was actually shocked how close his numbers are to King Felix. Mm. That was the comp that really blew me away, because King Felix did have the peak that Hamels didn't, but overall career numbers, they're pretty close.
Yeah, it's almost spooky, right?
Yeah,
how similar they are. They're separated by like a handful of wins, 0.01 in the ERA. Now, as you alluded to, they got there in different ways. King Felix had a sharper, shorter peak.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, he's got the ERA titles. He has a Cy Young, which Hamels doesn't. But in the end, if King Felix gets in, and he had a very strong showing for his first year, 20%. If he gets in, and then you look at their career numbers side by side, with Hernandez in, I feel like it's going to be pretty hard to keep Hamels out.
So,
and Hamels has the postseason success. He has the World Series MVP.
And NLCS
exactly.
MVP too. Yeah. So let me ask you this.
So what do you value more, the postseason success or the, you know, the ERA title?
I mean, he never said he wanted the season to be over and he couldn't wait to go home.
Oh,
I mean,
wow.
that never happened.
Are you a Phillies fan? Yeah, what is going on right now?
We're trying to put Hamels in the Hall of Fame.
He's not a Hall of Famer. What are we talking about?
Hamels. The numbers are impressive.
Hey, take your little numbers and shove them. We have eye tests over here. What are we talking about? I love Cole.
He couldn't take it any longer.
No. Well,
no, I'm just kidding. I love Cole. But seriously.
John, if I were to ask you, if I were to give you a percentage, you give me a percentage chance, Cole Hamels ends up in the Hall of Fame. Not the Veterans Committee nonsense or any of that, but in normal voting, what do you think the percent chance Cole Hamels ends up in the Hall of Fame?
It's admittedly pretty low. I think he's probably got like a 30% shot right now.
Well,
at
do
this
the work.
Moment,
Do the work.
But that's one of the, that's why I'm here.
Okay.
That's why I'm turning out my articles.
All right.
Yeah. Get that number higher.
That's great. You and Cindy Webster.
Yeah, trying to get Cole in the Hall of Fame. Well, he could. I'll tell you, John. You convinced me on J-Roll. I'm pretty staunch. J-Roll deserves to be in there. But I'm also a traditional stats guy. I'm 49 years old, and that I thought the Hamels thing was great. So you know, sometimes an athlete needs an advocate. So keep at it, man. I thought you did a great job. Again, if you go to a Substack, it's 2008 Phils with a Z. John Foley, I'm sure you can just Google it as well. John, thanks for coming on, brother.
Appreciate it, John.
Hey, thanks, guys. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
I'm telling you, I read it, and I was like, Cole Hamels. Now, Jack, to your point, I'm a big...
The eye test didn't say Hall of Fame.
The Hall of Fame should just be, what does your gut say?
Yeah.
Because all the dorks didn't want Jack Morris to get in.
Right.
And I was like, I watched Jack Morris. He's a Hall of Famer. I don't know what to tell you. So Hamels, my gut would say no. But when you say his numbers are the same as King Felix, and I think King Felix is a Hall of Famer.
He's a Hall of Fame talent. Like
I don't even know if King Felix is a Hall of Famer.
Like his
five-year
run.
How many Cy Youngs did he win?
One. And Cole never finished. He finished top five once, and it was fifth.
Right. That was probably in 17, right? Not 17.
07.
07.
It was. No, it was 11.
11.
The 1 year. Oh, right. He won like 17 games.
I don't know, man. Maybe he's just good at writing, and maybe I'm easily convinced, but I don't think I'm easily convinced.
I will admit, I never thought of Hamels as a Hall of Fame pitcher.
The strikeout.
Very good.
The strikeout per nine thing is crazy.
Yeah. That's good.
Often disrespected here.
Yes.
Just your tone with him lets me know.
It was awful.
Yeah, exactly. That was completely disrespectful.
I do like bringing up 09 because it's back to back World
about
Series titles. Great in 08.
It's great in 08.
Yeah. No, I mean, and then what doesn't get talked about is 2010. He was dominant in 2010.
Once they brought Roy and the guys here, he settled in.
Yeah. The year he's at 2.79 was the number four.
I would think about it this way. For a long time, I've had him in the same category as Nola. He's not in the same category as Nola.
Oh, way better than Nola.
Way better than Nola.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know
about way better, but better.
Better than Nola.
Better stuff for sure.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
the strikeout thing per nine, it was crazy to me.
Him being top five in that is wild.
Yes, when you just include the pitchers that are already in the Hall of Fame.
Hamels never got the love. And see, this was my early transition from being the athlete.
Yes.
To on radio.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand the whole. The city didn't connect with him.
Right. You're like,
California,
the guy just was a World Series MVP.
What are we talking about? Yeah. The guy's a World Series MVP.
Yep.
But he never. I don't think the fans ever loved him like that.
They're always ready to turn on him.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was a little unfair. Like, on any other team, he probably was an ace.
Yeah.
But then they went out and got Cliff Lee and Roy Halladay, who at that time were just
showed
better.
Us what a real ace.
Yeah. And that's my problem with Hamels. Like, I'm looking at, I was trying to really quick put together the best pitchers from the 2010s, right?
Yeah.
So he counts for 07, 08, 09, whatever, but mostly the 2010s.
Yeah.
He's not better than Kershaw, not better than Verlander, not better than Scherzer, not better than Chris Sale, not better than Madison Bumgarner. And then he starts getting into the Granky class. DeGrom is going to be a really interesting Hall of Fame case.
Well, yeah. DeGrom's like a better King Felix.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Well, he's actually like Koufax.
Yes, in terms of his numbers.
In very
short.
Of
his numbers, yeah.
You barely even talked. I mean, what is this?
Shut up, man. Give me a break.
No, it's all good.
Yeah, no, it's not.
No, it is.
It's not
No,
good.
It's great.
No, it's
no,
not
it's
good.
Good.
All right.
No, I will see if he gets in.
All right. 215-592-9490. You stop, too. You both of you stop.
What?
Obviously,
I like that Utley's trending up.
Do show yourself. I'm just going to take a drink of water.
This was one of the better things that happens on this show. That almost I see it coming and I can't do anything about it.
Yeah. It's sort of like, for me, it's like when you start slipping on ice and you know you're going to fall down and there's nothing you can do about
right.
it. Because I got to talk. It's a talk show, you know. All right.
The fun part is seeing you try to fight through it.
Yes.
Yeah, that's so,
and then
you know.
Jack.
Yes.
Jack's always going to have a response. It takes me down a notch, it does which I need every once in a while.
You do?
Yep. All right.
You compared QB1 to Ben Simmons yesterday.
I did.
Yeah, that's what you get.
That was
And you know what? I believe it even more today. We're going to start here. All right, we're going to do this. So I see the 4-second conversation between Devontae and Jalen.
Yeah.
And then everybody turns into, oh, but I was told. And you know what that reminded me of? Every time Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons would high-five each other, I would get, oh, you say they hate each other. They did. All right. We're talking about Sirianni today.
Oh, man.
Has this season shaken your faith in Nick Sirianni as a head coach? And our next question today, because it is Brendan Fraser's birthday, give us somebody who was big in the 90s. 215-592-9494.
Great decade.
Omar in Delaware, you're on WIP. What's up, Omar?
What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Whoa.
Oh my God.
Omar,
where
you
at? Omar, where you at?
Omar. I'll be having the Bluetooth.
Phone's on the other side of the room.
That's what it sounded
I'm
like.
Back.
Yeah.
Listen, here's what I got to say.
Okay.
Nick Sirianni this year, it doesn't make me nervous about him. It validates that it's time for him to go. He's got to go. And so here, I'm going to give you the reason.
Okay.
And we could debate it like gentlemen.
All right.
Right? So we got a history with this guy. He got hired, and at the end of the first season, they took play calling away from him because he couldn't call plays. And so
that was before the first season was even over with.
A professional play caller. Boom. The next year, we hired Brian Johnson. We all know he got involved in the offense. We stumbled. We fell early because he couldn't call plays. Then we hire another professional offensive coordinator. We win the Super Bowl. This year, we hire his buddy from within. You can't tell me his fingerprints is not on that playbook. He can't call plays. So if you fire Petullo, he's going to be the one calling plays unless you bring in another professional offensive coordinator who will then get hired when we win the Super Bowl again.
Can I ask you something, though, Omar?
Sure.
And I would agree 100%. You have to give Kellen Moore, he certainly has more credentials, more history than Kevin Petullo has, absolutely. But when you were watching the offense last year, did you watch it and said, man, what a complicated offense we had? Or did we just have a once-in-a-lifetime performance from the offensive line and Saquon Barkley, and this whole, you know, call plays, not call plays, was sort of washed over by the fact that they ended up more dominant than we could have ever imagined.
Like, we had a good dominant defense in the playoffs, yep. Turnovers. We had a very, very strong offensive line,
yep.
But we did the same thing with Stane Shikton. So that's where I would disagree with you, Spike. We did it with another professional play caller, and we should have won that Super Bowl if it wasn't for that phantom holding call. So the only thing that's changed from last year to this year is Mekhi Becton and the offensive coordinator.
Well, but also, Jalen's numbers passing are essentially exactly the same as last year. So I guess to me, the biggest change from this year to last year, if we're just talking about what's happening on the field, we can say the only thing different is Petullo, but the biggest thing different is we can't run the football, and I just can't put it on Petullo. I can't get there. I agree with you with some of your points on Nick. I just don't think that the fact that he hired Petullo is the reason that they can't score this year. I just don't believe it.
You know, if you had a good coach, your coach is going to be able to coach a team better. Coach them up. The offensive line hasn't gotten better. The offense itself hasn't gotten better. We've actually gotten worse. And listen, man, I like Nick as an individual, but he's a glorified cheerleader, and we need to go ahead and get rid of him, bring in a coach, bring in Frank Wright as the offensive coordinator. Frank's not going to go nowhere. And I'm going to actually pin this on Howie, because Howie allowed this to happen, even though he had data from 2023, that when you hire from within, it didn't work.
All right, give us your 90s star.
All right, here's my man, Michael Jordan, but not for what he did on the court. Ike, you'll like this. Hmm. He brought in that area of two hoop earrings for men. Listen, I was born in the 60s. Yeah. A real man only wears one diamond stud in the left earlobe.
Left earlobe, yep.
Them two hoop earrings, man. Fruity Punch, that's all I'm going to say, guys. Have a good one.
All right, Omar.
Fruity Punch.
Yeah, well, no, he was saying... If you wore an earring in your right ear before it became cool.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, wait. Well, first of all,
yeah,
that was an unnecessary analogy there.
I didn't know if you knew.
No, I knew it. No, okay. Not for you, for him. For him. It was unnecessary.
It was unnecessary.
Secondly, I think he's wrong. Jordan was the one hoop guy.
He was eventually two, wasn't he?
Maybe he wore two eventually, but I always thought his signature look was the one hoop. That's what Jalen does, the one hoop.
The person I remember wearing two, the first, was George Michael from Wham.
Oh, yeah.
I remember.
Yeah.
And I was telling Jack this about one point. Yeah. I was like, you know, when we were growing up, you only wore one earring.
No, you're right. And your left ear. Your left ear.
I wonder.
And Rodman wore both, didn't he?
Yeah.
Nobody
was trying to. Well,
he had a lot of
piercings. Nobody was trying to be like Rodman, but now everybody looks like Rodman.
Right, yes.
Tattoos and piercings
nose
everywhere.
Nose piercings and ear piercings, yeah.
I didn't see the two earring things until I went to school. College.
That's when you saw
when I saw guys wearing the two earrings.
That's when because you know I used to have a bunch.
Yeah.
And that's when how many did I end up with? Six? Maybe six? Dude, I had one piercing in here.
Ooh.
On this part.
Oh, man.
Do you know what that part of your ear is called?
No, what is that called?
It is called the tragus.
The tragus.
So I saw my friend Brooke get that piercing.
Mm-hmm.
And this is horrible. I hate saying this.
Yeah.
I heard the crunch as the needle went through the cartilage.
Yeah, cartilage.
Just awful. Mm. Just awful.
Yeah, I got the second one pierced and I was done.
When did they come out?
I took them out when I retired.
Okay.
Yeah, when I retired, and I said I was getting into media. I'm like, you don't need the earrings. Now they wear earrings.
They do.
In media, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I never did the nose ring, the lip ring, any of that. Yeah, I was out.
I had two in the eyebrow.
Yeah, I haven't worn earrings since 07. Yeah, 07.
Jack was never an earrings guy.
I think the holes may still be open.
They're probably.
Yeah, because I've had them. Dude, you know how I pierced my ear the first time?
So was it an ice cube and a needle?
And a safety pin.
Yeah, there it is.
How stupid is that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, just as dumb.
Yeah, how stupid is that?
People said that was stupid. Dude. I went to the mall with some person who had no idea what they were doing on a gun they used on 600
other people.
At least a safety pin. Yep. You probably dipped it in alcohol or something before you did it.
Yeah. You burn it, you sterilize it, and then you did it. Yeah.
There was no numbing agent at the mall or whatever.
That's
we didn't
true.
Have the ice.
They did it with the gun, right? The ear piercing gun.
The ear piercing gun that would sit. It was Piercing Pagoda in the Granite Run Mall. I'll never forget it. And the gun would sit there all day long. All day long. Yeah. All right.
Yep.
215-592-9494. Has your faith been shaken in Nick Sirianni? Next question today. Give us someone big in the 90s. Today's show is sponsored by Klondike Kate's Christmas Sleigh Bar. Check out the pop-up Christmas Sleigh Bar at Klondike Kate's from now through December. Coming up next, the return of Flyers and 50 with Broads. Is he here, Jack? I think I saw him zilling around.
Yeah.
Here. All right. I wonder whose job he is aiming for today.
Right. And is he going to defend his quarterback?
Oh, are we going to have a little football discussion with
Broads?
I don't know. All right.
We might have to sabotage it.
Yeah, I have no problem with that, as I've shown in the past. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
FanDuel, in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, is the number one sportsbook for same-game parlays. From points and rebounds to threes and assists, FanDuel is the best place to combine your favorite picks into a same-game parlay or track every stat live, all in one easy-to-use app. And right now is the perfect time to join, because new customers get $150 in bonus bets if your first $5 bet wins. So bet on the players that you love the way that you want. Head to FanDuel.com/Ike to sign up today. That's FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official sportsbook of 94. WIP.
Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
No. See, this is the...
Hold on. But it's two bare feet on the dashboard. Come on, man. It's Kenny Chesney.
Oh, and a tattoo and
there's
a
There's not even a twang. There's no twang.
Yes, there is. Song on the radio.
There's not even a twang.
If there's not twang, it wouldn't be country music.
He's
it would just,
basically Jimmy point. Buffett. Shut up.
If there's no twang, it's just Hootie and the Blowfish. It's not country music.
There's barely a twang on Kenny Chesney.
Do you hear the twang here, Ike, or am I crazy?
Yes, I hear the twang.
Come on and Murdy
no, 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 no. You're full of it. You got a bad ear.
I have a great ear.
You got a bad ear. It's cold out. That's cold out. That warmed everyone up.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Mark's Men's Night in Montgomeryville, Thursday night, December 18th. Ray Diddy will be there, signing the Eagles Encyclopedia, food and spirits as well. Is Cole Hamels a Hall of Famer is the Twitter question. Ike, what do you think the poll is at?
I don't even want to give an answer. I know it's a no. I'm just trying to see how bad is it. Let me go 63%.
Dude. It's 51% no, 49% yes.
Oh, wow.
That's surprising to me.
So maybe John convinced a lot of people. Maybe. Listening. Yeah.
I'm saying he should try to make it your thing. Get Cole Hamels into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, make it your thing. Somebody needs to do it, you know?
And see, Hamels seems like one of those cases where you need someone to argue your case.
Because people don't know.
Yeah.
You know, I thought my instinct was no, absolutely not. And then when I started learning about it, I was like, there's a better case than I thought.
If Utley starts faltering, I'm jumping in there.
He's on his way.
I need to be in Cooperstown for the Utley Hall of Fame speech.
Oh, maybe that'll get you into a documentary.
Dude, one of these.
Maybe that's the documentary
one of these
you
years.
Get into and you're not ignored.
I've
never been to Cooperstown.
Oh, really? Dude,
Cooperstown's awesome.
We might have to take a trip.
We got to take a show trip.
Yeah. Well, for Utley's Hall of Fame, if he gets in.
Oh, yeah. That would be a good fans of Philly trip. We take a few hundred people up there. Cooperstown is the, or maybe we just go by ourselves.
Yeah, maybe we just go by ourselves. Yeah, good idea.
Cooperstown, as far as Hall of Fames go now, I've only been to basketball, which is not very good.
Was that Springfield?
Springfield, Massachusetts, yeah. The Baseball Hall of Fame is amazing.
Okay.
I mean, if you like baseball and you're a baseball guy, first of all, the little town is amazing. Cooperstown's amazing, but the Hall of Fame is so cool. I mean, you can't even do it in one day.
The cool part is, like, the stars are just walking around. Like, when I went there for
all the legends up there,
I went there for Halliday's induction. And
you did?
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, you saw, like, Ozzie Smith just walking around. And, like, these guys all come in for
they
the
all
weekend.
Come back, yeah.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind doing it. Never been there.
Wouldn't mind
doing the basketball one, too.
Val took me there as a gift after I got fired from YSP.
Oh,
so it was
nice.
The first weekend after I didn't have a job anymore.
What about maybe Embiid's?
Embiid's
Hall of Fame.
Maybe. I like that.
Maybe we go. Hopefully it's sooner rather than later. I do have one, you know, silver spoon Spike story about the Hall of Fame and stars.
Give it to us, yeah.
Okay, so my dad was obviously close to Schmidt, Mike Schur.
Yeah.
So we went up there.
In the documentary, by the way, Schmidt's documentary that just came out.
Yeah.
He's talking to Howard before he accepts the Hall of Fame call.
Wow.
So
how about that?
We sat right behind his family when he got inducted. But here, my dad and me sat right behind. But the night before, there's like this special tour of the Hall of Fame, which we got to go to. I'm standing there looking at the plaques. I look to my left, and Willie Mays is there.
Willie Mays?
Yes. And that is the thing about the Hall of Fame. It's just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, you're surrounded by the baseball. It just has such a long and
it's
a sport about history.
I'm with you there. That's one of those, and I can appreciate the history of the game.
I appreciate that.
Well, and that's where I was, and when I went for Halliday's, that's where I was too afraid to talk to Rich Doobie.
Oh, you know what? That's right. I remember that.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell is afraid to say hello to Rich Doobie?
Right. Well, how old were you at the time?
I was working here.
He was a grown man.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, then that's embarrassing.
Yeah, I was like 26.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, manned.
You can own Angelo on Twitter while you're working
right,
for him, but
yeah,
you can't
yeah,
say hi
yeah,
to Rich
can't
Doobie.
You say hello to Rich Doobie.
Yeah. I was a little nervous.
Yeah.
That guy manned the best pitching staff I've ever seen.
Weren't nervous to send that tweet, though, were you?
I didn't send a tweet. I retweeted it.
You retweeted, right?
Yeah, yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And all showed it to him and thought he would find it funny.
Yeah, he didn't.
He didn't at all, actually.
To this day.
Yeah, he is not over it.
No. So it's 3:30 on Wednesday. Flyers and 50 with Broads. Our guy Broads is here with the Flyers hat. If you're not watching on YouTube, Flyers hat, hockey stick, and QB1 jersey to show his support.
Looks good.
There he is.
I had to. Yeah. I had to. Now I have something to say. What lies behind us and what lies before us are only tiny matters compared to what lies within us. That's all.
Was that just
is that a Jalenism?
Well, tough never last.
I'm sure.
But tough people do. Right. It's not whether you get knocked down. It's whether you get back up. Adversity introduces a man to himself.
Is this from Jalen's Proverb a Day calendar?
It's from Rod Lincoln.
Oh, okay.
Rod wanted me to read all those as I entered the studio.
So it is, before we get to Flyers and 50, it's been a tough week for your guy, for Jalen.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I've noticed what you do. It is a, you know, Jack does this with Bryce. It's a very good strategy, because what you do is...
Thank you.
You go...
First off, there's no strategy with Bryce.
There is a strategy.
There's no strategy with Bryce.
Definitely a strategy.
This was the strategy. After the Phillies lost again in the playoffs in the first round, you go, look, Bryce needs to be better, but... And then you start saying everything else that's wrong.
Well, that's facts.
But you elaborate on all the other stuff, and you get Bryce out of the way. Yeah.
He's facing tough lefties.
So that is... So that's what Broads has done with Jalen this week. He's been like, look, Jalen needs to be better, but the coaching staff is failing him.
Yeah. It's the truth. It's the truth. Spike, it's the truth. I'm watching Ben Johnson get the best out of Caleb. And he wasn't even that good. But you see the sexy creativity. I mean, that is good, high-quality football.
You know,
now I'm watching these hitch routes and this and that. Everyone's saying it's predictable. I mean, my ass, Sirianni! My ass, you have a good game plan!
It's been predictable for 3 years.
Yeah.
What'd you say about Brian Johnson in 23?
I think this is better.
What?
I think Brian Johnson was better than this, believe it or not.
Let me ask
you. The same
thing.
No.
Do you think maybe Caleb Williams has a bit of an advantage because he's got a cannon for an arm? Do you think that, or maybe because he'll throw in the middle of the field?
Well, Ben Johnson wasn't there last year, and now they're 9-3. Are they not? They're at the top of the NFC, and they have one of the most creative offensive minds.
Yeah, but your quarterback can't do creative.
This is what I do know. Listen to me. When he has a Shane Steichen or a Kellen Moore, you're going to Super Bowls.
Same stats last year, you lunatic.
What were you going to call me?
A lunatic.
Oh, okay.
He has the same stats.
He does have a stick in his hand.
I was ready to fire off.
He actually had more turnovers last year.
Yeah, but he's a winner. And what's happening is he's just having a tough time. Here's the reality.
Yeah.
He's playing bad. Everything is a mess. But I'm not giving up on him. We're going to Super Bowls. You know, I think he looks terrible right now.
Okay.
But can a good quarterback play bad?
Yes.
I think that's what we're dealing with, right? I think we have a quarterback who is very good, who is playing miserably, and the whole team is out of whack, out of sync, and we have a fantastic quarterback that is just going through hell.
It happens.
That's what I think we're really doing.
It happens.
Okay. All right. That's fine.
He hasn't given up.
No.
Well, I'm not saying you should give up.
I can appreciate that.
I'm not giving up.
You know, Jalen.
Well, a lot of people will have.
Yeah. Jalen holds himself accountable. I want you to hold him accountable as well.
I'll hold him accountable. Can I have a statement on Elliot's segment yesterday? The hell was that?
Which one?
What do you mean, which one?
He's got like three bad takes yesterday.
3 o'clock hour.
Yeah.
Was just.
Oh, yeah.
What the hell was that?
Yeah. He was on one.
That's how I feel about that segment. Oh my God.
Sometimes he comes in wanting to set fires, and
he did.
He did it with Ike in the first segment, me in the second segment, and he doesn't back off. I give him credit. Does not back off.
I got another story for you.
You're working your way into a whole segment.
You guys were talking for the first 7 minutes. I was sitting here with my hand up my nose. Okay. You guys talking about the Hall of Fame as if my time isn't worthy.
Ponytail.
You were standing there with your stick in your hand.
Yeah.
That's right, as I like it. So my wife and I were getting in the truck the other week. Right? Your show's great. Okay. We love your show.
All right.
And we turn it on.
Could you think of one way to make it better? I bet you could.
I don't think there's one way in hell. I really don't.
Would you say it's the best show ever?
Are we going to do that joke every time?
If it still lands.
It's pretty good, though. Okay. It's a pretty damn good joke.
All right. Tell me
the story. Tommy from down the shore is on.
Yeah.
Eat the gabagool. Yeah. It's a type of ham, right?
Yeah.
My wife goes, what the hell is that? And I'm like, Tommy down the shore, right? A week later, same thing. Get in the car.
Yeah.
Eat the gabagool. Last night.
Yeah.
I'm walking in the kitchen.
Yeah.
She's singing it.
Eat the gabagool.
Yep. It's a type of hand. Yep. And she keeps getting, and she didn't know I hurt her. Dude, she had no clue. I said, what are you doing? She go, oh my God, you should have saw her face.
Stuck in her head.
She couldn't believe it. Yep. She's singing, eat the gabagool.
Well, anyway. You know.
Now, was that worth your time?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. It is a certain type of hand.
You have a great show.
All right, let's go to Flyers in 50.
Flyers in 50 with Broads.
Well, things were going well. They went on the road. They beat Florida down 2-0, showing grit. What a comeback effort. They go to Long Island. All right, bang! Zegras in a shootout. Silky, filthy mittens. My God. He comes in with poise, patience, slows down. Then his fast stick handling was so good. Then you go to New Jersey. Oh, another solid, strong performance. This is where it gets sad, ladies and gentlemen. You come home against Pittsburgh, your biggest rival.
Oh, yeah.
And you just lay an egg. It was a disgrace. It was Eagles, Bears. It was blowing a 21-point lead to the Cowboys. That's how much pain I was feeling at the barn. You got Crosby and Malkin in town, and you just urinate all over your leg. Wow. Now, Tyson Forster gets injured, and that's a big one. Now, 2 to 3 months, his shoulder was touching the ice. It fell completely off his body, and he's a big personality of this team. You go as Tyson Forster goes. I believe that. So now without him, I'm a little worried on if they can make the playoffs.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I was actually feeling good with Vladar stopping the biscuit as well as he was, and Forster lighting the lamp. He had 10 bingos in like 20 games. This kid's all over the place scoring goals. And now he's out for 2 to 3 months, so...
True story.
I'm still stuck on the silky.
Oh, silky filthy mittens. Dude, you should see. He comes in.
That's a t-shirt.
Dude, it's so
silky,
sick.
Filthy mittens.
He comes in. It's like slow, and then it's just like, bah, bah, starts whacking that thing.
There it is. You always know how to land the plane.
You know, honestly, that Penguins game, you know, we were doing the show beforehand. I think we saw a Sidney Crosby jersey in the. And I go home. I'm like, you know what? There's nothing else on. I'll turn it on. And they're down 3-1, I think, at some point.
Yeah. 3-1.
Yeah, they were just getting
demolished.
Yeah, they were getting
every
demolished.
Every time you tune in, it's a disaster.
Yeah, it's bad.
They're playing good hockey. They were playing good hockey.
They were, but now Forster's hurt. We're worried.
All right, where's the.
I got the Broads board. Okay. What do you got, Jack? Anything?
Well, no, I have a report of your recent actions at the barn.
Oh no!
I believe I'm hearing that you dressed up as a leprechaun.
Well, okay.
What?
There's a Build-A-Bear gritty version. So the Fly guys reached out to me and said, we're doing this promotion.
Uh-huh.
We would love to have you dress up as one of the costumes that we have for Gritty. So I ended up looking like an idiot. Walking through the Xfinity Mobile Center, people were screaming, go Irish! As if I'm some big Notre Dame fan. I didn't know how to respond. I was like, I don't know what the hell is going on with Notre Dame. Anyway, I got the whole hat on or whatever, and I had to dance on the jumbo, trying to get the people a little, let's go Flyers!
Wait a minute, so they have you walking around like a leprechaun, nobody even knows why?
Yeah, until I did the bit on the jumbotron, then I was able to change.
Then they got it.
Yeah, okay. So listen, I'm a man of the people. Everyone's getting, you should have heard the arena. Broach!
There's 0% chance this happened.
5,000. I think people forgot why they were there.
Place only holds 20.
I know, it was unbelievable. Standing room only.
They found an extra 5,000 for you.
Standing room only. Anyway, grinder of the week.
Okay.
We got Dan Vladar in between the pipes. This guy.
Vladar?
Dan Vladar.
Vladar.
Oh, look at that. He's got a good butterfly. He gets nice and low. Good butterfly.
Yep.
Yeah, just clean, solid, crisp Bauer pads.
Okay.
Flashing the leather with that. He's got the blocker with the orange stripe along the waffle. He can waffle board away. Anyway, we got some plays here.
Okay.
We're not done. I got till 3:55:52 on that clock, don't I?
No, you don't.
Okay. So this is what I love about this squad right now.
You got to face the camera better.
Well, let me throw the hockey
stick
there.
There you go. All right.
They scored like 2 goals in 17 seconds the other night. It's what they do. They score in bunches. It's beautiful. So here's Forster, who's now injured. All right, he's just sitting here right inside the offensive blue line. Just good, crisp, solid structure within your F3. All right, so here's a turnover in the slot because he jumps. You got to jump and be precise when you jump. But if you make a mistake, it could be a 2-on-1 the other way.
Yeah.
He doesn't make the mistake. Jump. And then when he jumps, the puck is right here and he just... Set low blocker, baby! And the place goes nuts. But then,
it's almost like a pick six.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
17 seconds later, here you go, Bobby Brink, one of my favorites. He's forechecking. F1 is so important. Puts the stick right where it needs to be. Stick placement is important. Defenseman turns the puck over. Coot slides in. Posting in 2-0 against the Isles on Long Island. That was a hell of a game, baby. Hell of a game.
There he is.
How's Michkov doing?
He's doing better. I think he's starting to come along a little bit, but
okay.
He's a bust, isn't he?
Listen, I don't know if he's a bust, but I was hoping for more sex appeal.
Evan Turner Michkov.
No, come on, man.
Right. Markel Meech.
Turner me.
Yeah, Markel Michkov.
No. I think it's one of those things where he's gonna be good, but am I worried that it's not face of the franchise elite? Ew, this is awesome. Build the statue.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe we have to wonder.
We're on to Porter Martha anyway.
They went on Porter, man. Come on, man.
They got swept by Wisconsin.
That's when I'm going to get my first sweater.
Oh, yeah? You're going to get a Porter Martone sweater?
For sure.
Wow.
Is he up next year?
Probably. No. They said that he could probably play this year. That's how nasty he is.
Get a little college seasoning.
Yeah,
you'll be better.
That's right, Ike. That's a good breakdown on that. Yeah.
Anyway, I think that's all I got. Yeah, I'm a Jalen guy. I stand with my guy.
I know.
I'm sure.
You should.
Yeah,
he should.
He's a damn good quarterback. He just needs an amazing offensive coordinator, an offensive line, Devontae to sit the right route, and a run game, and a good defense, and then we're going back to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's it.
It's perfect.
Right. Have a great show, fellas.
Right. When are you on again?
That's a good thing. Yeah. Thursday, after Thursday night football.
Okay.
Tomorrow night.
Yeah, tomorrow night.
Wow. Week's going fast. All right, Broach. Great job.
Keep the great show up.
Great. Great job as always.
How do we feel about the play on the board?
The Broach.
I mean, listen.
You can do without it.
I don't know what the hell I'm looking at.
There's no plays in hockey.
Yeah.
You throw the puck at the net. I mean, come on. It's as simple as that.
I kind of like the Broach board because it puts pressure
on
him to do it.
Shoot the puck at the net.
Yeah,
put the puck on the net.
You said throw the puck at the net.
Well, that's, same thing.
I don't think anyone says throw the puck at the net.
Well,
put it on net, you could say.
Yeah.
You can't say throw it on net.
Yeah, just get pucks on net.
Get pucks on net. All right. 215-592-9494. CJ in Texas, you're in WIP. What's up, CJ?
Oh, man.
Hey, he coming for y'all show. He coming for that number one spot.
Yeah, I know it. I got my eye on him. My radar's up.
Hey, you got to respect the man that'll come and that'll go right to you, look you eye to eye, and be like, I'm coming for the spot.
No.
He didn't go eye to eye at all. He went to a newspaper or some publication.
Went to a little Weasley reporter and then pretended it didn't happen.
Yeah. And then got back into a corner and then sobbed and sulked about it for 3 days.
Yeah.
Hey, he may have been shaky with the gun, but when y'all asked him, he still fired off the shot.
He did.
Exactly. Hey, so y'all already know how I feel about Nick. But I'm going to go a whole different way of how I want to explain it. Grew up and seen all these teams through history just get all this credit for being great, and they get their names cemented in history, right? The names, we don't even have to talk about who they are, teams. Teams talk about they got five, teams talk about they got six. NFL has been around for over 100-plus years, but people only talk about the Super Bowls, right? We know we got three championships before the Super Bowl era, but nobody will ever talk about them because you don't want to get laughed at by other franchises.
Yeah.
But it's stupid, right? So when I look at Nick and I look at Jalen and I put them both in the same boat early on, it's not about trashing them or looking down on them. It's about when I look at a situation now where you have all this talent. When we walk away from this era and this window closes, how would you feel if we only won one Super Bowl?
When
you had the offensive talent that you have on that side and one great defense that we won with, one that we should have won with, and this one maybe, if the offense was better, could maybe be schemed up a little bit better. How would y'all feel with all this talent?
Listen, it would feel like the Phillies from 08 to 11.
Yeah.
I mean, they won one, they got back to another one, but we all feel like they left at least one on the table.
Yeah, but I think it's disappointing, but it's not I don't think people would look at the era. We would have to give it time.
Yeah.
I think if you gave it 15 years, I think people would look and say, man, that was great.
Yeah.
We left one on the table maybe, but it was great.
But CJ's point, do you think, not to cut you off,
yeah,
but do you think this would sort of be looked at not exactly like the 17 one, but that Super Bowl last year was so much about Saquon. If we don't ever get back to that again, will that be a standalone Super Bowl, meaning that we got Saquon, it was fortunate for us that year, but we couldn't sustain it?
So maybe this is just me, but I think in time, people will group the 17 Super Bowl with the 24 Super Bowl.
Really?
I think they will. I think
they're completely separate to me.
They're different teams, different coaches, but it was only 7 years apart.
Sure.
So I think if you go back and again, if we're in 15 or 20 years, I'll say I think we will look back and say over 10 years we won two Super Bowls, went to three.
Yeah.
And we'll say, look, did we leave one on the table? Maybe. But when you look, most teams don't win a couple Super Bowls. I'm not saying they shouldn't try. I'm not saying it's not a disappointment if they don't. All of those things are true. But I think when you look back,
we're going to be Seattle.
Yes. Yeah.
We're going to be Seattle.
And I don't think anybody looks at that era as a failure.
Right.
They say, look,
now,
that
was a great
team.
Now, they know they could have won that second one if you run the ball there. But still, they look at it for what it was.
Yeah. I think that's what it would be. And I think also we would get some extra context on, hey, maybe we weren't as set up for a dynasty as we thought.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Nick wasn't the coach that we thought. Maybe Jalen wasn't the quarterback that we thought. We only got one great year out of Saquon. Who knows? I don't know that we would look back on it like a failure or anything if they don't win another Super Bowl. In the moment, it will feel like it, but I don't think in time we will look at it that way.
Okay. I'm going to say this. I disagree.
Okay.
Because
clearly.
I'm just saying, when I talk to other franchises, other fans and stuff, after you get through ragging on each other, we talk sports.
Yep.
And the first thing that Dallas always says is what? They would have kept winning for two reasons. They would have had more rings in that era if two things, Jimmy Johnson had left, and also if Jerry hadn't pushed for the doggone cap, the salary cap.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They swear by that because of the talent they had.
But they still got three.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, they're looking at it like they would have had it. So with us, I'm looking at it like this. You don't amass this amount of talent and let it go for naught. Because if we had a 1-23, we're talking about being like Kansas City.
Yeah.
Do you get a repeat and then had a third one over there?
Right.
Or did you repeat this year? It'd have been different because now you're saying, man, the sack record was almost broken. You had 2,000-yard rusher. You had this. You had that. Then now it's only like, well, you know, he rushed. But
CJ, the big difference is that Kansas City has one of the greatest coaches of all time and one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time.
And that's the malpractice.
And we don't.
That's the malpractice we're talking about.
Well, but that's the hardest thing to get.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think anybody looks on the Celtics that had Kevin Garnett, Paul Pierce, Rajon Rondo, Ray Allen. They only won one championship. I think they probably should have won another.
Could have won another one,
But, like, I don't know. CJ, real quick, because we got to get to Baldy, give us somebody who was big in the 90s.
Hey. Real quick,
yeah.
Friends was trash because they sold from Living Single.
Okay.
And since the delegation is not going to be, I'll say it like this, the delegation is not really represented, and Toni Braxton had the hair. She already had the hair. She was big like that. You had Nia Long, but the most important person you had was from Player Club. You had Lisa Ray. Boom.
Oh, Lisa Ray representing the 90s. I would have gone with out of that group. I mean, listen, Toni Braxton was
huge.
Man. Nia Long was pretty big. She was a young actress then, but she was big in a lot of movies in the 90s. Not blockbuster movies, but, you know, delegation movies.
Toni Braxton, very 90s answer.
Yeah.
Toni Braxton's a big one. Yeah.
Yeah, Toni Braxton's become popular again for some reason.
Oh, has she?
Yeah.
I think it's
her song.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What song?
Well, an old song that she made.
Oh, really? It's popular again?
Yeah. I'm surprised you haven't run into
it. Is it a TikTok?
On TikTok, yeah.
I'll try to get into Toni Braxton TikTok.
Well, and know that it was originated by Travis Kelce's ex-girlfriend.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Now I'm going to go TikTok during the break. 215-592-9494. Baldy joins us next. This is the WIP
Afternoon
Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Hey, here's why I love Edmunds. Everything they install is made right here in the USA. Now, they have Owens Corning shingles from Jersey, CertainTeed siding from outside of Philly. How about the Provia windows and doors handcrafted by the Amish in Ohio and all custom for your home? From Philly to the shore, homeowners trust Edmunds because they show up, do the job right, and stand behind their work. Inside the house, no problem. Edmunds Remodeling is the real deal for kitchens, baths, and basements. Plus, they do free estimates, free computer design, and they build it to your budget at a great price. Visit callemmons.com today and tell them Ike sent you.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.